We begin the current daf, Masechta Baba Basra, daf Kufnin and Dal. We begin on the bottom of Kufnin and Gimel Mabez, second line up in the bottom of the Yomid. The Gemara continues explaining the halacha of our Mishnah of the previous daf. And that is, the Mishnah had quoted a halacha regarding a document that it didn't indicate in the document itself if the one who had given the gift was a Shchimra, a dying person, or if he was a healthy person, which there are differences in halacha, specifically if he survives the illness, if that continues to go to the recipient, or he gets to take it back. So he claims he was a Shchimra, and therefore gets it back, and they claim that no, that he was a Bari. So Meir said, Tzarech lehevi raya shchimra haya. The giver has to prove that he was an ill person, because now that he's healthy, now the assumption is that he was a healthy person, and therefore the recipient gets to keep the gift. Whereas, as our Gemara quotes, they disagree. They say, no, the one who is trying to remove it from the other person, up until now, the giver of the gift was the one who was in possession of what he is gifting. And therefore, the recipient who wants to prove that he was a healthy person, it's incumbent upon him to bring the proof. And if he can't bring proof, then the giver gets to hold on to it. That's Machlokes Rav Meir and the Chacham. Now, now the Gemara continues the topic of Kufnan Dal Ben Alf and asks, Raya B'mai. Regarding what are we saying that a proof has to be brought? In other words, and the question is both according to Rav Meir and the Rabbanan. Rav Meir said that the giver has to bring proof, and if not, then the recipient gets it. Whereas Rabbanan said that no, the recipient has to bring proof, and if not, the giver gets to hold on to it. Now, because as the Gemara explained, there's two different ways of explaining what the proof is, so the Gemara asks it as a question. What's the proof? So it's actually machlokes. Rav Huna Amar, he says, Raya Be'edim, as Gemara is going to explain, that the one who has to bring the proof has to bring a proof through witnesses. Whereas Rav Chizda, Rav Huna Amri, they both say that no, Raya Be'kim Ashtar. The proof is by verifying the signatures on the document, verifying the authenticity of the document, which is the document that this person had written to give it to this person. As the Gemara explains, Rav Huna Amar, Raya Be'edim, he says that proof has to be brought with witnesses. Meaning that the machlekes of Mei and the Chum and our Mishnah is the same machlekes we brought in the previous daf of Rabbi Yaakov and Reb Nosson, which the simon is Meineach, which are the names of these Tanoim, Reb Meir, Reb Nosson, and so on. So as the Gemara explains, according to Rav Huna, Reb Meir that was saying that you go based on what's going on right now, meaning right now he's healthy. So he's saying, hey, I was a Shchimra, now I'm healthy, meaning I was Amad, then it's Chayza, I could get it back. And they're saying, no, you were always healthy, you were Bari, and therefore we get to keep it. So Rav Meir that said that the giver has to bring the proof, because he says, it's like how it is right now. Right now you're healthy, you want to say that you were not healthy then you got to bring the proof. That's Reb Nosson. That's like Reb Nosson, as we told in the previous stuff. So therefore, our Mishnah is the same type of a case where he's healthy right now. And the Mishnah is saying, if he says, I was an unhealthy person, I was a dying person, and now I'm healthy, and therefore I want to back out, and they say, no, you were healthy, it's on the giver to bring proof that he was a Shchimra. That's the words of Reb Meir, because right now, since he's healthy, and that's what we see right now, that's the opinion of Reb Nosson, that you go Basar Hash, you go based on what the situation is telling us right now. And as long as he doesn't bring witnesses that he was a Shchimra, the recipients get the gift. Whereas Rabbanan and Rabbi Yaakov, on the other hand, the Chachamim, they hold like Rabbi Yaakov, who he said that, no, as the Chacham had said, that the giver is the one who up until now was muchzik, he was in possession of his possessions, and therefore it's upon the recipient of the gift, who he's the mighty mechaber, he wants to take it away from the one who was muchzik up until now, it's incumbent upon him to bring proof with witnesses that know that he was healthy all along. And up until that, he could prove that we say that the Nosson is the Muchzik, as Rabbi Yaakov had said on the previous daf. That's the interpretation of the Machlokes of our Mishnah according to Rav Huna, who says that both Rav Meir and Rabbanan, when they're saying you have to bring Raya, who each one says on a different party, it has to be a proof with witnesses. Whereas Rav Chizda and Rav Huna Amri, they said that Raya, that the Chachamim said in our Mishnah, Hamoitze Mechaveyo Olava Raya, that the recipient who wants to take away the possessions of the one who is gifting it to him, who that guy's claiming that, no, I don't have to give it to you because I was a Shchimra and I survived, and they say, no, you're always a boy, you got to give it to us, that proof that they have to prove that to get that gift is talking about a proof of Bekiyam Hashtar. That is that Rabbanan are saying that the recipient of the gift has to verify and authenticate the document, which what would that do? That would make that the giver can no more claim anymore to say, What gift? Forget about if I'm healthy or if I was unhealthy. This document that says I gifted you something is what's called mezuyif. It was a forgery. I never gave you a gift in the first place. Now, that's what he potentially could claim. But since it was verified not through the giver, if that's what this opinion is saying from the Chacham, that this giver wanted to give a gift and it was a document. So there's a discussion, was he a bari or shchim or not? But on that says Rav Chisra and Rav Huna, what the Chacham were saying is that this document has to be verified. It's a love lahevi raya. The recipients have to bring a proof. What's the proof? The proof is through the key mashtar, but authenticating and getting it verified by a third party that this is a true valid document signed by kosher witnesses. Because what does that do? That makes now that the giver of the gift, of who wrote this document, doesn't have any more what's called a migui of hapesha asa hu hapesha hita. Pesha asa, hapesha hita means to say that the mouth that made it forbidden is the mouth that can make it permitted. Now, what that would mean to say is, if let's say that the document, until you verify a document, it's not necessarily a true document. So it has to be verified. If the verification of the authenticity of it was through the giver himself, he says, yeah, it's a kosher document, I wrote this. If that would be the case, but then he would be able to be the same one that could say that there's something wrong with it. That's what's known as a pesha asa pesha it. If I said it's kosher, well then you got to listen to me and I, as I qualify and say, but it has a different problem and therefore it's not good. Now, in this case, the Chacham are saying, that is why we need a third party. We need the recipients of the gift to have it proved through someone else, not through the giver, that this is a kosher document, which would thus preclude the giver of having a migur. Which, in that case, so now the one who has the document could come and merit in his gift. Because according to Rav Chisda and Rav Huna, everyone agrees that we go based on what's called Basar Hashta, meaning as Rabbah holds, and like that's the opinion of Rav Nosson as recorded in the previous daf, unlike Rav Huna who said that is exactly what they're disagreeing about, the Rav Chisda and Rabbah Huna, they hold that no, everyone agrees to Rav Nosson. And since right now he's a healthy person, so we assume right now that he was always a Bari. And if that's the case, so the one who has the document could go ahead and collect with the document, because when the healthy person writes something, even if he survives, it's going to go to the recipient. The only thing is, and that's what the Chacham are saying, according to Rav Chisda and Rav Huna, that they have to bring a proof, meaning through Kiyum Hashtar, they have to verify the document, because if they don't verify the document, then the giver, if he's the one verifying it, then he could still go ahead and invalidate the document. So even if he was always a Bari, he's going to say, well, there was no gift here in the first place. This was never a document. I had never given anything. Now, but as Rashbam points out, unlike Rav Huna, who when he was explaining the Raya B'mai was Raya B'edim was going on both Rav Meir and Rabbanon, when Rav Chisda and Rav Huna are both explaining what's the Raya, it's B'ki Mashtar, that's only talking about according to the Chacham. But when Rav Meir says, who he holds that the proof is incumbent upon the giver of the gift, that proof according to Rav Meir would mean a Raya B'edim, would mean not with the verification of the document, because to the contrary, that will work against him. The proof that he has to bring, that he gets to hold on to it, is with witnesses, and that is, he has to prove that he was a shchimra. That's the opinion of Rav Meir. Now, explains the Gemara, according to Rav Chisda and Rav Huna, komiflegi, what is the machlekes Chachama and Rav Meir? They're disagreeing b'meida, when a borrower agrees, when he admits, b'shtar shekasav, regarding a document that he had written it. He agrees, it's a kosher document. It was not a forgery. The only thing is, but he's qualifying it, which would thus invalidate. He's saying, yeah, we wrote this document. The problem is, but he claims, but I already paid it up. Or he claims, like in the context of our Mishnah, yeah, but I was a shchimra, so I wrote this document. Now, yeah, I wrote this gift, but I was a dying person. And dying person who survives gets it back. Or he claims shtar mana, as we'll explain later on, that I wrote this, but it's invalid for a different reason, or because what's known as shtar pasim, which we'll explain. So on that is what they're disagreeing regarding if the borrower agrees and admits that he wrote the document. In that situation, tzarech, does the lender need to be lekaimai, to have it verified through a third party, which would thus preclude that the borrower, who even though he's admitting that he had written the document, that he should not be allowed and be able to invalidate the documentation through a migui, through that, hey, since I could say this, believe me when I'm saying this, that is what they're disagreeing about. What's the machlokes? It explains the Gemara. The Remeir Savor, Remeir holds, Moid B'Shtar Shekasavoy, if the bar himself admits, the one who's being collected from, admits that he had wrote the document, the document was written, and it's not a forgery, Remeir holds, in a Tzarach L'Kaimoy. Then, the lenders don't need to have it verified through a third party. Why not? Because we assume generally the documents were written in a kosher and valid way. The reason for this is because by documentation we do not say hapesha asa hu hapesha hitter to make it invalid. In other words, although we're relying on the authenticity and the kosher and the validity of this document from the borrower himself, and he's saying, yeah, so you're believing me, and that's why you're saying it's kosher, but then believe me when I say that it has this other problem and therefore it cannot be collected with, says Remei, we don't say that. And that's what the Mishnah is saying according to Rav Chizkiya and Rabbi Rav Huna. When your mayor says, Sarach lehevi raya be'edim, that the giver has to bring the proof that he was a shchimra, that's the opinion of your mayor, is because once the borrower agrees and admits that he wrote the document, and therefore that is validating and koshering the document, and which tells us, as we said, everyone according to Rav Chizkiya and Rabbi Rav Huna hold that we go basar hashta, what the status is right now, like Rav Nosson, which at this point in time, he is a bari, he's a healthy person. So therefore, you don't have to go ahead and have it verified by a third party, because why should we? It's already a kosher document. Oh, but then he's going to say, oh, it was kosher, but I was a shchimra. We don't believe you when you say we're shchimra. We go on base what's right now, which is that you're a bari. You want to say you were shchimra, and you want to say, and believe me, I was a shchimra, because or else I could say that this document wasn't even kosher in the first place. No, it's not true. Once you verify it, it's like witnesses are saying that this is kosher. You can't go ahead and contradict witnesses, and therefore it's going to be a kosher document. We don't need it to be verified through a third party. That's your mayor. Whereas Rabbanan Savi, Rabbanan held that, no, as they were quoted in the Mishnah, Hamoitze Mechaveira, the one who wants to take away something from his friend, meaning the one who's producing the document, said the Chacham Tzarech Levirai, he has to bring the proof, which as we explained according to Rav Chizkiya and Rabbi Rav Huna means to say, the verification of the document, meaning by verifying the signatures of the witnesses signed in that document. Why? Because they hold, Moitze B'Shtar Shekasavai, the admission of the giver, who's saying that, yes, I wrote the document, that does not help. Why? Because, yeah, he's agreeing that he wrote the document and that he gave the gift, but he's saying, qualifying that, yeah, but I was a shchimra. And that's the concept of hapesha asahu hapesha hitter. He's the one that's closing it, he's the one that's opening it. He's the one that's saying, yeah, it's kosher, but then he's saying, yeah, but it's not going to help you because I was a shchimra. And that's why they hold that Sarach, the one who's producing the document, the recipient of the gift, has to be Lakaima. He has to verify the signatures through a third party, not to have it done through the giver of the gift. And thereby he'll receive and merit in his gift. Because as we said before, we go based on the premise of what it is right now, which is since right now he's a healthy person, so we go like Reb Nosson, which tells us that he was always a healthy person, unless he brings proof with witnesses that he was always a shchimra. But we don't need that. As long as we have it verified through a third party, he can't go ahead and invalidate it based on the migui. And that's how the Chacham say, that's how he's going to be able to get the gift. But he has to bring that proof, which is the Kiyum Hashtar, which Rashbam says from these two different versions and from these two Amiram, we learn that the halacha would be like Rabba and Reb Nosson, then we go Basar Hashta. When we have a question regarding Chazaka, which like Reb Yaakov and Reb Nosson, the previous staff, or saying what it is right now, we go based on what we see right now. But those are the two different interpretations of one of Rav Huna and one of Rav Chizkiya and Rav Huna regarding what does it mean when it says they have to bring a raya. Is it a raya be'edim, or is it, like Rav Chizkiya and Rav Huna said, a raya be'kiyim hashtar? So, ask the Gemara, but v'hafligu b'chad zimna. The thing is, however, according to this last interpretation, Rav Chizkiya and Rav Huna, that they're saying the machlokes is regarding moed b'shtar shekasavai, if you have to be mekayimet, if the borrower, if the guilty party, the one who's being collected from, admits to the writing of the document. Yeah, the document is written, it's not a forgery. But I say as follows, ... which would make it invalid or problematic. Then the question then becomes, do we need a third party to be mekayimet? Because do we say that the one who's admitting could still say that it's problematic because a pesha also who a pesha hit? Do we say that or not? If that's how you're explaining the machlekes, but that is the Gemara, then if that's the case, we already had them recorded as already disagreeing in that same concept somewhere else. The time like we learned in the Bryce in the second paragraph of Sefer Ksubis, where it's going on the Mishnah over there. The Mishnah there says, Ha'edim sha'amru ksav yudeinu huzeh. Witnesses say, yeah, you want to verify if this is a kosher document? This is our signatures. These are not made up signatures. These are our signatures. They're kosher. Avil, but, so although that verifies the document and therefore it could be collected with, but not so fast. That's okay with the document, but there's a different problem. Problem is, anusim hayinu. We were forced into it. So it's not a kosher document. We weren't signing out of our own volition. Or katan mayinu, we were minors and therefore we weren't kosher. Psul mayinu, we were invalid for different reasons. Says the Mishnah, harei elu namanim, so they're believed. Which is based on the concept as we've been discussing, shapesa asa hu apeshete, because the one who said it's kosher by saying it's their signatures are saying that it's not kosher because they're saying we were not valid at the time. That's what the Mishnah says. Now on that Mishnah we learned the Brice in the Gemara that quotes einemonim lepaisle divrei meir. Remeir disagrees on the halacha of that Mishnah and he says no. The witnesses are not believed to invalidate the document that they just verified by saying that it was their signature. And the reason for that is because Remeir is not concerned for a pesha asa by documentation, as we explained previously, because Jewish people are not suspect regarding producing an inappropriate against halacha type of a document. Meaning if we know that it was written, we don't assume it was done through a katan or anus or anything like that. Now, the Gemara there in the conclusion, though, there explains the reason for this is because Remeir holds that the concept that we're discussing here in our Gemara, which we were showing how those two concepts are related regarding if you say apesha asa regarding documentation, and the concept of Moed B'shtashik Savai, where Remeir says that if someone admits, if he's the borrower, he admits that the document was written, that the lender does not need to be mekayemet. And the reason for that is because since the borrower says, I wrote it, so then witnesses are not believed anymore to say that, oh, but it was invalid. And the reason for that is because there's no greater verification of the document when the borrower himself admits that it was written, because again, as we said, we assume the documentation are not done invalid according to halacha. And therefore, it's like as if his own handwriting was verified through a third party. Because even though he wants to then subsequently invalidate it, he can't. Because once we know it's kosher, we assume that it's already kosher because he wrote it. As the Mishnah there teaches, einemonim, the witnesses are not believed to say that they were katanim or anusim or psulim, because there is no, according to Remeir, pesha asa. Once we know that you wrote it, we know that it was written, it wasn't a total forgery, then you're not believed anymore to say, oh, but we were... No, we don't believe you. If it's a real document that was written, we assume that it was kosher. That's the opinion of Remeir. Acham Aymrim, they disagree, and they say, nemanim, they say that no, that they are believed, because although the bar admitted that he wrote it, Chacham hold, you still have to be mekayemet through a third party. And the reason for that is because since it's only being validated through these witnesses who they themselves are saying, oh yeah, Ksavi, they knew that this was our handwriting, but they themselves are also saying, oh, but ketanim, you know, but we are minors, say the Chacham, they are believed because of the concept of pesha asa hu pesha heter, which is since they're the ones who are saying that it's kosher, they're also believed to say, but there was a different problem, and therefore it's not going to be valid to be collected through them unless you have it verified through a third party, which then they don't have a migui because don't believe me because whatever, we're not relying on you anyway. So therefore, as the Gemara on the interpretation of Chizn and Rabbi Avuna, if you're saying the machlekes of our Mishnah Remeir Chacham is this concept of Moed B'shtash HaKasev Tzach L'Kaim or not, well then that we already had their machlekes already once elsewhere in Masech Tzuksubis, why would we say it twice? Says the Gemara, no Tzricha, we do need to say it twice. Because the Itmer Hahi, had we only had their machlekes over the Masech Tzuksubis, Bahikam Rabban, I would say that only over there do the Rabbanan say that although the Bar admitted that he wrote it, as they say over there, it's not considered a full validation of the document, because since the witnesses themselves, however, then invalidate their signatures and say, haha, but there's a problem. Yes, we wrote it, but hold on. We were anusim, we were psulim, we were ketanim. Oh, maybe over there they say that would it wouldn't be a full validation when they're saying, but there's a problem. Shum dalimi edim, because witnesses are very strong, they're a very integral part of a document, and they're actually the crux of a document. So therefore, umari shtara. Therefore, they could go ahead and yes, ruin the document, and it's not going to help with the admission of the borrower. The borrower says, "Yeah, I wrote it," and the witness says, "Yeah, this is our signature." But there's a problem here, Mr. Borrower. You can't just go ahead and admit we were a nuisance. We were ketamim at that time. Oh, so therefore, that would make it a problem. Aval halacha over here in the halacha of our Mishnah, I would say that who, since it's regards to himself. The discussion of Remeir Nachum in our Mishnah is talking about himself, where he's admitting that he wrote it, but then he himself is saying, yeah, but I was the Shchimra.
Oh, delav kol kuminei.
He doesn't have such power and authority to ruin the documentation by his saying that he was a shchimra, because once he admits that he wrote the document, and witnesses are not here invalidating their signatures, for all we know, and we assume that their signatures are kosher, as it's verified, so the fact that he says he was shchimra, eim aloy. I would say even the Rabban would agree that no, he's not believed to go ahead and ruin the document. When witnesses say it's a problem, okay, the witness themselves are, they're the main part of the document, but himself not. And so to in the reverse, Vietnam Baha had we only had their machlikas in our Mishnah, so Baha come Rameyer. So then I would say only over here does Rameyer say that he himself is not believed to go ahead and say he was a Shrimra to invalidate a document. Al-Bahach, but over there, regarding when it's the witnesses who say that there's something wrong over here, although we say that this is our signature, but we were minors, we were psulim, Eimaidul Rabbanan. So I would say that there he would agree to Rabbanan that they would be believed to invalidate it and would not be a full validation, and you would have to be mekayim through a third party. So Tzricha, therefore, we had to have this their same machlokes seemingly in both these places, Mesach Tzubis and over here, Mesach Baba Basra, and therefore it's not a difficulty on the interpretation of Chizda and Rabbi Rafuna. But the Gemara tells the Vachinam of Rabba that Rabba also says, like the other opinion, the first opinion, that of Rav Huna, that he says the Raya is not Bekim Ashtar, which is this machlokes that we were just going through the way it was said by Rav Chizda and Rabbi Rafuna, but rather Raya Be'edim, it's that a proof has to be brought with witnesses, as we said, that Rav Huna says the machlokes is the same machlokes Rabbi Yaakov and Rav Nosson in the previous daf, regarding do we go based on what's happening right now, Basar Hashta, as Rav Nosson said, or do we go based on the Chazaka, what was a Petona, which is how Rabbi Yaakov said it, that's the same machlokes Rav Meir and the Chacham. On this interpretation of Rabba, which was him as Rav Huna, Omle Abaya, Abaya said to Rabba, my time, what's the reason that you're explaining it like this? And that is, Inem, if you're going to say that the reason of the Rabbanan is because midikulu, from the fact that all gifts of a healthy person, ksiv buhu, generally, in such a document that's written, kadhava mahalach al raglei b'shuka, the document writes that when this guy was going on in the marketplace, when he was a healthy person walking around, and that's how it usually mentions it when it's a gift of a healthy person, ubaha like sibba. And in this document, it doesn't say those words to say that he was a healthy person. Oh, so so we could infer from the document that it doesn't say that the words of a healthy person. We could infer that, oh, must have been he was an ill, dying person. And that's why you're saying in the Pinyin Rabbanan, that the one who wants to take away from his friend, meaning the one who's the recipient of the gift, he has to bring proof that the giver was a healthy person, because we are assuming from the fact that it doesn't say the vernacular of a healthy person document that must have been he was a shchimra, and that's how you're learning up the opinion of the Chacham. That's why they would have to bring proof with witnesses that he was a bari. That's a zabaya adra, but to the contrary, midikulu ksiv b'hu, from the fact that every document of a shchimra, the words are usually written kad kotzav rami ba'arse, that when he was ill and lying in his deathbed, v'holik ksiv b'hu. But in this document, it didn't have that written. So shmami na bari haba, so to the contrary, I can infer that must have been he was a healthy person. So therefore, there's no proof either way. So how are you learning in the opinion of the Chachamim? Why is it, if you learn like Rav Huna, that they have to bring Edim, why do they have to bring Edim? Why would we assume that he was a shchimra, that they have to bring proof that he was a bari? So that rabbi responds to Abaye, and he says, no, you're right. The reason Rabban is because, ikkele me mahachi, v'ikkele me mahachi. You're right, you could say either one. And that is, we're in doubt if it was a gift of a healthy person, if it was a gift of a shchimra, because you're right, it doesn't say, as we said in the halacha of our Mishnah, doesn't say neither terminology, not the one of a bari, not the one of a shchimra. And therefore, ukimimayne b'cheskes mare, so we retain the money in the presumptive state of its owner that it was up until now, which is in the chazaka of the one who was giving it away. Because up until now it was his, so now although there's a potential, maybe it was given to someone, maybe not. So we say he was the muchzik, he gets to hold on to it. And that's why the Chacham say, I'm mitzi mechaveri, the one who wants to take it away from his friend, which is the one who's producing the document, Allah lehebi raya, he has to bring proof, which is how Rabbah learns like Rav Huna, which is be'edim, which is with witnesses that he was a bari, and only then will he be able to take away the money from the chazaka of the naisin, from the presumptive state of the one who's giving the gift. Now, continues the Gemara, ubeplukta, this machlekes of Rav Huna and Rav Chizda, regarding the interpretation of the machlekes Rav Meir Nachman our Mishnah, what's the raya? Is the raya with Edim or is the raya with Kimeshtar? Is the same machlekes was had by Rav Yechanan Rish Lakish, where Rav Yechanan amar raya be Edim. He says, like Rav Huna, that the proof had to be brought with witnesses. Rav Shimon Lakish amar raya be Kimeshtar. He says, like Rav Chizda, that the proof had to be brought with the verification of the document, as we explained the two different interpretations of the halacha of the machlekes of our Mishnah. Now, so the discussion continues. Now they go ahead and they each try to bring proofs regarding their respective opinions. Rabbi Yochanan, who held that it was the raya was with Edim, asked on Rish Lakish from the following brayso, who held that it was regarding a raya with Kim Hashtar. Just by verifying the document, then that would make the recipient of the gift win. Which is, the brayso says, Maisa b'Bnei Barak. There was an incident in B'Nei Barak, which Rashi says name of a place that one shouldn't think it means the sons of Barak. It's a story in Eretz Yisrael in B'Nei Barak, Be'echad shemacher b'nichsei aviv ameis, regarding somebody who sold from his father's assets, from his father's possessions, and then he died. Now the family members, the inheritors of the estate, came and they contested the sale that this child, who subsequently died, had sold to this individual. Now the assumption of the Gemara at this point is that the what was being sold was still in the possession of the inheritors. It never yet got to the consumers who had bought it. Now, it's actually the consumers who are contesting, and because they want to take it away from the Yershin. And the reason for that is because they already paid and they bought it from the child from who was part of the family who had died. Now, on that, the Yershin, the inheritors, are contesting back and responding to the consumers, and they're saying, wait a second, Leimer, they were saying, Kottenhaya, our relative who passed away, he was a minor, Bishas Misa, at the time that he died. Now, why that is significant, as the Gemara will say in the next daf, that a child cannot sell from his father's assets until he's 20 years old. And therefore, since he was not 20, he was not allowed to sell, he was only a minor, and therefore the possessions never left our chazaka, he wasn't able to sell it. Now, as we'll see from the incident, the consumers were not able to find witnesses that he was an adult, and therefore they had to check the dead body to see if he was an adult or not. Now, when they weren't able to check, as the Gemara will say, Rabbi Akiva didn't let them, and moreover, they weren't able to find witnesses that he was an adult, so that caused them a loss. And the reason why it caused them a loss is because Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabban, who say, "Amitzim mechaver alav haraya be'edim," meaning the ones who are trying to collect. It's incumbent upon them to bring proof with witnesses that he was a healthy person, or like in this context, which is on the consumer to bring proof that the one who sold was a gadol, was an adult, and until they can prove that, it's their loss. So the narrative continues and says, so the consumers came, v'shalos Rabbi Akiva, and they asked Rabbi Akiva, that is, since they wanted to collect from the sellers, from the family, from the Yershin, and they didn't have witnesses, so they asked, Ma'al Abaytkai, could we check the dead body? If we could verify by checking to see if he had simoni godless, if he had pubic hairs, ways of proving that he was an adult, then we're going to go ahead and collect from the family. So Amalhem, Rabbi Akiva said to them, look, first of all, Iyatim Mishram Lenavli, and I'll disgrace a dead body because you want to get what you had bought to prove that he was an adult. V'oy, moreover, says Rabbi Akiva, anyway, it's not going to work. Kesimonim Asuin Lashtanis Lachamisa. Signs of adulthood tend to change after death. And that is, even if you're going to find something on the body which seems to indicate that he was an adult, we could really say that that's what's known as a Shuma. It only has the appearance of those things, but if one would see it during the life of this child, of this individual, you would see that it's not full developed pubic hairs, and therefore they would not be valid as a sign of adulthood, and even though it would look like right now, it wouldn't be valid, and therefore that's the second reason why you can't go ahead and check the body. That was the braisa of this halacha. So as we continue to Midbeis, continues Rabbi Yochanan on this question to Rish Lakish. So Bishlam Lididi, says Rabbi Yochanan, it's very well understood this braisa according to me. Da amina, that I said that raya, that the when the Rabbanan said in the Mishnah that amoitz mechavera, the one who wants to collect, so it's incumbent upon him, the raya, the proof, what's that raya? It's be'edim, he has to bring witnesses that, like in the context of our Mishnah, that the giver was a healthy person, was a bari, and then he'll be able to collect his gift from the inheritors. So here also the same thing, says Rabbi Yochanan, would apply, that the consumers want to do the same thing. They wanted to find witnesses to verify that the one who had sold it to them was an adult, so that they could collect what they had bought from the inheritors. Now, kiven the amal lekuches aisa aidim leashkechu. Now, so therefore, once that the inheritors told the consumers, "Well, bring witnesses. You're the ones who are trying to be mitzvah mechaveroi. So bring witnesses." And they weren't able to find witnesses. There was an adult. So heine duka asuva amrle. So that makes sense why they came to ask Rabbi Akiva a shaila, and they said to him, "Mal levaitkei." So then, can we check the body to prove it? Because it's incumbent upon us to bring a proof with witnesses, and we can't find. So can we just check the body to verify that it was an adult? But Ela Ladidach, but says Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, according to you, Damit, that you said that the opinion of the Chacham is Raya Bekim Hashtar, all the proof that the collectors have to bring is not witnesses to prove their point, but rather all they have to do is prove the validity and the authenticity of the document. So we have to go ahead and check a dead body. Let them just go ahead and verify their document. And the assumption always is that witnesses do not sign on the document unless, as we'll see later on in the Gemara, unless if it's done through adults, meaning that the seller is an adult and the buyer is an adult and the witnesses are adult. That's always the assumption. But look, and then they'll get their possessions. Why, according to you, would they have to go ahead and check the body when all they have to do is be Mekayim the Shtar? So and that answers Rish Lakish, and he flips the whole story. He says, Mi Savit, did you really think that Nichse Becheskes B'nei Mishpacha Kaimi? You were learning the Brisa, as we had alluded to this concept, that the case, the story was talking about where the possessions were still in the possession of the family members? And v'ka'asu l'kuchas ma'ari, and that it was that the consumers were contesting and trying to collect it from them? No, says Rish Lakish. The story was the exact opposite. Nichse Becheskes l'kuchas kaimi. The possessions were already in the property of the consumers, meaning they had taken possession of it before the family members woke up to contest and say, hey, how are you guys taking this thing? V'ka'asu b'nei mishpacha v'kama'ari. It was the family members who they were coming and they were contesting and they were trying to get it back from them. And they were saying, hey, how do you guys take it? The guy who sold you was a minor and you did inappropriately by taking it. Now, so regarding such a case, it wouldn't make sense for the inheritors to go ahead and prove their point to get it back by being Mekayim D'Shtar. Because the contrary, being Mekayim D'Shtar would only be working in favor of the consumers. And that's why it says Rish Lakish that what they tried to do is they were trying to bring witnesses that he was a minor so they could get it back. When they couldn't find witnesses, then they were asking Rabbi Akiva, could they check the body to prove that he was a minor and thus get it back? And that's why, says Rish Lakish, yeah, of course, it was the other way around. Of course, all they would do would be Mekayim D'Shtar. But here's the other way around. It's the family trying to get it back. That doesn't make sense to be Mekayim D'Shtar. And that's why it was as it was. And says Rish Lakish, I'll even prove to you. Hachinam Mistab, it's actually logical to say the way I'm saying it. Because Medukamalahuf and the fact that Rabbi Kiva responded to those who had asked him, which we're saying according to these two different interpretations, it's different parties asking. According to Rabbi Yechanan, it was the consumers asking. According to Rish Lakish's answer, it was the family members who were asking. So says Rish Lakish, from the fact that Rabbi Kiva said to them, "I atem rishom lenavli, you're not allowed to disgrace the dead body." Vishtiku, and as the story goes, they were quiet. So says Rish Lakish, "I amit bishlem bebenei mishpacha kama'ari." If you say the way I say it, that it was the family members who had asked the question, and they were the ones who were contesting, trying to get it back from the consumers. So mishum hachi ishtiku. That's why they were silent when they got this psak, because they heard. They didn't go ahead and disgrace the body of their relative who passed away. Okay, you know, the consumers grabbed it away. They'll have to deal with it with Shemayim. But that's why they were silent. Eliyamrit lekuchas kamari. But if you say, like you, Rabbi Yechanan, that it was the consumers who were contesting, trying to get it from the family members. Samay Shaski, why were they silent when they heard this psak of Rabbi Kiva? Leim relay, they should have said back to Rabbi Kiva, what do you mean? Anan zuzi avinle, we gave good money to this guy who passed away. Linville v'linville, yeah, let his body be disgraced. We're not concerned for his humiliation. We're not his relative, and this can be a big loss for ourselves. Therefore, proves Rish Lakish must be it was not the consumers, because consumers would never have just take that sitting down, that his body be disgraced. So what's our fault? He shouldn't have done this to us. And we deserve to get what we paid for. Obviously, it was the family members, and that's why they were salt, and that's why they took it like that. And I think my response back to Rish Lakish, no. Imishum holo iri, if that's your whole proof, like it's the way your interpretation, that's not a proof. Because you could say, hachakamalu, that actually, it was, like Rabbi Yechanan said, Lekuches who would be Ma'ar, and they were the one who asked the question to Rabbi Kiva. And that's actually part of the understanding why Rabbi Kiva gave them two responses. That Rabbi Kiva said to them, to Lekuches, Chada, first of all, Di'iyat Mershom Lenovli, you're not a disgrace to body. Now, but that's why he added on, V'oid, moreover, V'chitem Ruzuzi Shokol Linvil V'linvil. And if you're going to say, no, what do you mean? He took our money, therefore he deserves that his body be disgraced. And that's where Rabbi Kiva added on the second point. Anyway, says Rabbi Kiva, even if you guys would have no sympathy for a dead body, doesn't make a difference. It won't help you, because even if you'll see something that will show signs of adulthood, the bodily signs tend to change after death, and it's not going to help you to verify if he was an adult and not a minor, and therefore it's not going to help you anyway, and therefore it doesn't prove not like Rabbi Yechon's interpretation. Now the Gemara continues, and there's this discussion regarding to have the Girsa Toshima over here, because it seems to be a different discussion, not coming to answer like Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish's disagreement, although ultimately it will actually reveal regarding their machlekes. So Toshima, the Gemara says, come in here. Shal Reb Shimon ben Lakish as Reb Yechon. Rish Lakish asked from Yechon the following question. Zusha Shenuyu b'mishnas Bar Kapara. This that was taught in the teachings of Bar Kapara, the following halacha. If someone was eating the produce of a certain field, and was coming with the presumption that this was his, but then someone else called on and he was contesting and saying, hey, what are you doing in that field? This is my field. Now, so this guy then produced his documentation saying, hey, what do you mean? This that I'm eating the produce? It's mine. Here, this is the document that proves that you sold it to me. Or he produces a different document that shows that he gave it to him as a gift. So it depends. Says the Brisa. Says this teaching from Bar Kapara. Im amar eini makir b'shtar zeh me'olam, if the contester, the one who's saying that it was always his, not the one who was eating it, says, I don't recognize this document. I don't know what you told me. I sold this to you, gave it to you. I don't know what this document is. Meaning he's claiming that it was forged. Yiskayim hashtar b'chesamav. So what the one who produces the document does is he verifies the signatures and he shows that it is a kosher document, thus proving that it was not forged. But let's say im amar shtar pasim huzeh, which we had mentioned these terms before, let's say the one who's contesting says that this document that I sold you or gave you this gift, you know where this document is from? I never sold you this field. Pasim is from the term of pius, of appeasement. You had once begged me to write you a document as if I sold you a field. Now, the reason why you wanted me to do that for you was because you wanted people to assume that you were a wealthy person who can buy lands and say, see, you see how many lands I bought? You had not bought anything. But you wanted to show people, to impress people for business purposes. So I wrote for you a document that I sold you this field. I never sold you this field. This is a shtar pasim. This is my field. Get off. Shtar amana, or he claims, amana is from the word of belief. Meaning, I trusted you, I believed in you. That is, yeah, I was going to sell you this field, and I even wrote you the document that I sold it to you before you gave me the money, and you never ended up giving me the money. So although the document was written, it's not a forgery, but it's not kosher, it's not valid because you never ended up paying me. Which is shemechartav lach, I did sell you the field, but v'lenesatli dam, you never paid me. So then says the halacha, im yesh eidim, if there are witnesses, halacha achar eidim, you go based on whatever the witnesses say. Vimlav, and if not, halach achar shtah, then you go based on the document. So, which is that if the document is verified, then we go based on the document. We don't believe this seller who is claiming that it's still his, that when he says the shtar pasim or shtar mana. Says the Gemara, says Rish Lakish asking Rabbi Yechanan, leim Reb Meir hi. So we say that the opinion of this price is Reb Meir. The Amar made the b'shtar shiksava in the tzarech lekaimei. He's of the opinion that says that when someone agrees to a document that it was written, which is the second half of this halacha, he's not saying it was forged. It was written. But I have a problem with it. It was a shtar pasim, a shtar mana. And that Rameh says, no. You admit it was written? We don't need to have it verified through a third party. Why not? I could say, well, pesha aso pesha iter. I could say, yeah, I had it written, but it was a problem with it. No. He's not believed in that pesha aso. V'loy Rabbanan, but not like the Rabbanan. Seemingly that Rabbanan hold that Moedib B'Shtar HaShakasav Yitzarech L'Kaimei, as we explained in Oman Aleph, that you do have to have it verified. And therefore this Brice that says that, no, you just go based on the document, which is that he's agreeing that it was written, that is not like the Rabbanan, because Rabbanan say that you would have to verify because he would be believed with a Pesha Asa. On that, Amalei Rabbi Yechon responded to Rish Lakish, says, Loi, no. I could even say that it's going like the Rabbanan. Because I say, says Rabbi Yechonon, Divri HaKoil, everyone agrees, Moed B'Shtar Shiksavai, Ein HaTzarech L'Kaimai. Everyone agrees that if the borrower, if the debtor, if the one who is being collected from agrees that the document was written, it doesn't have to be verified anymore from a third party. As the Gemara is going to explain, that because when do the Rabbanan disagree and they say, Moed B'Shtar Shiksavai, that you have to be Mekaimit, that even though he's admitting that it has to be verified through a third party, that's only where the witnesses themselves contest the validity of the document. And they are invalidating their own signatures. That's a great psul. Therefore, even though the bar admits that it was written, it would have to be mekuyim from a third party. But regarding this teaching from Bar Kapara, where it's the borrower himself who wants to invalidate it and not the witnesses, because he wants to say, yeah, I wrote it, but it was a shtar pasim. I only did him a favor, it was never a sale, or I did, but he never paid me. Since he agrees that it was written, he has no authority to say that it was a shtar pasim, and says Rabbi Yechon, and there everyone, even Rabban, would agree that Sha'in Tzach Lekam, you don't have to have it verified through a third party. Since he admits to it, he's not Neman with a Pesha Asr to invalidate the document. Now, but Rish Lakish asked back to Rabbi Yechon, but Vamiflik Plegi, how can you say that? But we find that Rabban and Cham, Rabban and Ramey do disagree on this halacha. He's saying, everyone agrees, Moedim Shtashar Ksavai, that Ein Tzach Lekaimai, how could you say that? That Nan, which is like the Brisa that we had taught on Amud Aleph, we learned in that Brisa regarding that Sugi Mesefti Ksubis, that Ein Emanim Lepaisle Divrei Meir. Meir said that the witnesses are not believed to invalidate the document. Once they admit that it was their signatures, they can't say, oh, but Anusim or Psulim or Ktan, they can't say that anymore. But Vachacham Amrim Neman, they said that no, the witnesses are believed to invalidate the signatures that they themselves verified. So you see that there is a Pesha Asur Pesha Yeter, and therefore it would need to be Mekuyim through a third party. How could Sayyabin agrees that Maidib Shashak Sava in the Zarech Lekayim? So Malay said that Rabbi Yechon responds back to Rish Lakish, look, E Eidim Alimi Umarishtari, yeah. If you're going to say regarding witnesses, which is what it's told about over there, Mesechtik Subis, in the opinion of the Chacham, that they're very strong and they're a very integral part of the document, they could go ahead and ruin the document, where there it's the witnesses themselves who are saying that Psuli Eidusayinu, we were invalid to be witnesses on the document. Yeah, there I agree that Chacham would say that Tzarech Lekayimai. But Iyu Kol Kamine? But do you think he himself has that ability? You think the borrower could say that I'm not chayiv anything? But rather, to the contrary, here the Chacham would agree we do not say HaPesha Asa Hu HaPesha Yeter, because since the borrower says that I wrote this document, and although he's saying, oh, but it's a Shtar Pasim, a Shtar Mana, a Mali Leshaker, a Migur of why would I lie, meaning believe me when I say that I wrote it, but however I'm saying there's a problem with it, when that's B'makim Edim, when that's contradicted by witnesses, that we don't say. Why is that contradicted by witnesses? Because once he's saying that it was a document that was written, so then we have what's called an Anan Sahadi, as if we have witnesses, which is the world testifying, that it's not a Shtar Amana. Why do we verify that? Why? He's the one that's saying it's a good document. Therefore, believe him when he qualifies it and says, but it's a problem with it. It's not true. Because witnesses generally do not sign on a Shtar Amana or a Shtar Pasim, because actually you're not allowed to write such a document, as the Gemara says in the second paragraph of the second Subas, Daf Yud Tesem and Aleph. And therefore, he's not believed when he says it's a Shtar Amana, because although he is the one that was verifying the document, he's not believed when he says this Migoy, this Pesha Asa, because it's like as if witnesses are saying, you're a liar. Because if you're saying that we actually did sign in it, you're just saying there's something wrong with the document, as in Shtar Pasim Shtar Amana, you can't say that because the witnesses who had signed are screaming as if them saying themselves that, but we didn't sign the Shtar Pasim Shtar Amana, because we know, Anan Sa'adi, that witnesses would not go ahead. We would assume that it's a kosher document, and therefore since he says it was a real document, he's not believed to say Shtar Amana, Shtar Pasim. Therefore, says Rabbi Yechonon, everyone would agree, even the Chachamim, that in such a case, Meidim Shtar Shik Savoy, if it's the borrower himself who's contesting it and not the witnesses. But however, the Gemara continues, Amar Leih, Rish Lakish asks back to Rabbi Yechon, and he says, how could you say that according to everybody? If the borrower, if the debtor admits to the document, then it doesn't have to be verified through a third party, which is because even though he himself is saying, wait a second, I know I said it was a real document, but it's a Shtar Amana or Shtar Pasim, that Rabbi Yechon is saying, he's not believed to go ahead and make problems for the document, because as long as it's not the witnesses themselves who are making it ruin, then everyone's going to agree. But asked Rish Lakish, V'aloi Mishmecha Amru, but in your own name they had said, that Yafa Iru B'nei Mishpacha, that the family members had contested appropriately, meaning, although the family members agreed that their brother who passed away, which is the story we quoted from B'nai Barak, agreed that he had sold this field. And it was written in the document, where the one who had given the gift had written it down. But they said yes, but he was a minor. And that's the Rabbi Yechonon, that the family members are believed until the claimants, the consumers, can bring proof by verifying the document with its signatures. Until they prove it, said Rabbi Yechonon, the family members are believed. So you see, although that there might be starshik savoy, although they agree that the document was written, but still tzarich lekaimoi, still has to be verified through a third party, because they are believed to say, yeah, we agree that it was written. But hapesh asa hu peshita, we say, however, he was a minor. So how can you say that it's when the party themselves wants to say pesha asa, you said that everyone agreed that he's not believed when it said in your name that he is believed? So Amaleis, Rabbi Yechon responded back to Rish Lakish. He says, no, that teaching that you heard in my name, Zu Elazar Amra. My student Elazar had said that Ani lo yamarti davezem oilma. I had never said this because it's not true. I hold when it's the Leiva himself, when it's his family, when it's not the witnesses, then actually he's not believed to go ahead and be Marle Lishtara. You don't say the Pesha Asa or Pesha Hita over there, and there you would not have to have a key Mashtar from somewhere else. However, Amr Abzer continued this question and said, wait a second. If Rabbi Yechon is going to deny the question that was asked on him by saying that, oh, I never said that, that was my student Rabbi Elazar who said it, and therefore don't attribute that to me. But Yechve Rabbi Yanai Rabbi is also going to deny the teaching of his own teacher Rabbi Yanai, which is Rabbi Yanai, his own teacher Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yechon had said explicitly from his Rebbe that tzarich lekaimoi, that even when it's the Leiv himself, you would still have to have it verified through a third party. As we find the Amr Biyana, Amr Rebbe. His teacher Rebbe Yanai had said the name of Rebbe, Moid Bishtar Shlik Savoy, if someone admits regarding the borrower, then the debtor admits that the document was written, and the Girsa is tzarich lekaimoi, that he has to go ahead and still have it verified through a third party, meaning because he would be believed with a Pesha Asa. And V'amalei Rebbe Yechon, and Rebbe Yechon actually responded back and said, Rebbe, my teacher Rebbe Yanai, what are you teaching in the name of Rebbe? Loi Mishnah Seino Hizu? Isn't this our Mishnah, which that would explain the other gears of Enoi? Either way, he's coming to say, how can you say Eino Tzarech Lekaima, or he's saying it's already said already, this concept. But basically he's saying that the concept we already find is that Tzarech Lekaima, which is our Mishnah, which is, V'chachamayim, the Chama said in our Mishnah, Hamaitze Mechaber Elavaraya, if someone is trying to take away from his friend, meaning the one who's trying to get the gift, it's a comment upon him to bring the proof. And said Rabbi Yechanan, Ein Raya El Bekim Ashtar. What's the proof that the recipient of the gift has to bring? He has to bring a proof by validating the document. Now, although this case is talking about where the giver was made the Bishtar Shiksavit, he admitted that it was written. It was only that he said, but he was a Shchimra. And yet still we see, although he was made the Bishtar Shiksavit, say the Chacham, and that's Rabbi Yechanan is asking to his teacher, Rabbi Yanai, oh, we already know this halacha, of Tzarech Lekaima, but either way, asks Rabbi Zeira under Rabbi Yechanan, so good, he denied the teaching from his student, but here we see he himself said over from his Rebbe, that Moed B'Shtar Shek Savai, Tzarech Lekaima, even though it's the bar himself, even though it's the one who gave the gift, is contesting it. So you see that he is believed with a Pesha Asa, not only when it's Aden. So therefore, Rabbi Zeira concludes, and he says, Barim, however, he's coming to answer this question that Rabbi Yechon had responded to Rish Lakish, and he had said that I say according to everybody, Ina Tzarech Lekaima. And then we have this question, but how could you say that? Here he says clearly in the interpretation of our Mishnah that you are Tzarech Lekaima. So explains Rabbi Zeira, it would Nirin Divri Rabbeinu Yosef. It would appear the interpretation of Rabbeinu Yosef. In other words, the reason is because Rabbi Yechon actually holds, as the Gemara is going to explain, they actually switch around the attribution of the opinions of our Mishnah between Rabbi and Rabbanan. That's actually the other way around. It's the reverse. It's the Rabban who held Eina Tzarech Lekaima, meaning what was said in our Mishnah, the opinion of Reb Meir, as the Gemara is going to explain, was actually opinion of the Chachamim. And what's said in our Mishnah, Chachamim, is actually opinion of Reb Meir. And therefore, what comes out, when Rabbi Yechanan said, L'divri HaKoil, I hold according to everybody Eina Tzarech Lekaima, it would come out according to the Gemara's answer, it's not precise. Rather, it's because, since the Rabbanan are the ones who are coming out and saying that Eina Tzarech Lekaima, he considers that like everybody, as the Gemara is going to explain, because the Chacham are really everybody, just one opinion is disagreeing. That's what he means when he says, I hold according to everybody, Eina Tzarech Lekaima. Which, as the Gemara explains, the Amar Rabbeinu Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Zu, the opinion of our Mishnah, which is obvious that Eina Tzarech Lekaima is Divrei Chacham, which, as we're going to explain, what do you mean? To the contrary, our Chacham are the ones who say that Tzarech Lekaima, right? The recipient of the gift has to prove it from a third party, although the one who gave the gift already admitted. So that's what we're going to explain. That's why it's actually a reversal of attributions of opinions, where, says Shmuel, this that we learned in our Mishnah, that if the borrower admitted that it was written, that he's not believed anymore to invalidate it through some other theory, rather, you don't have to have it proved from somewhere else, is the Divrei Chacham is the opinion of the Chacham. Of Rameyer contested, and he says, no, if someone admits regarding a document that it was written, it still has to be verified through somewhere else, and therefore the recipient has the onus of proving it by b'mekayim the shtar. Umay divrei hakol, and therefore, what does it come out now that when it says Rabbi Yochanan said that everyone holds Moedim Shtar Shekhsavi in the Tzorach Lekaimri? It's Rabban, Legabed Rameya, Divrei HaKol. When you have Rabban on the one hand and Rameya on the other hand, it's basically everyone against one. That means everybody. I mean, everyone means Rabban, and they hold Moedim Shtar Shekhsavi in Tzorach Lekaimri, and therefore that resolves the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah, there is an opinion that can test, but when he says everyone, he meant the opinion of the Rabban. Now, that the Gemara asked, and that's what clarifies what we had been saying in passing, but what do you mean? We learned the Mishnah exactly opposite of what we're saying right now. The Mishnah says, the one who's trying to collect, the recipient of the gift, who's claiming that he was always a bari, and the giver claims he was a shchimer, he wants to get it back, he wants to get it from the giver, he has to bring the proof, which is, as we said, b'kiyum hashtar, as his teacher Rabbi Yanai had said, which is, as Rabbi Yochanan was saying, this is by verifying the documentation. So although you have a moed b'shtar shekhsavai, we find that Tzarech lekaimai is the opinion of the Chacham. Says the Gemara, Epoch, now you have to switch it around, as we said before. Acham, this is actually the opinion of Meir, as actually Acham would say that in the Tzarech lekaimai. But the Gemara continues asking, but Tanya, but then we had, which we had mentioned on Omed Aleph, that the same Achleikis is the same as we said in Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, which is with Rav Chisda's opinion, which is that interpretation of our Mishnah, which is the Rai is Bekim Ashtar. We said that Vatani lit in the Brais of the same Machlaikis, which is Enemon Lepais Loi the Remeir. Meir says that no, witnesses are not believed to invalidate their Kiyim of the Shtar. The Chacham Aimim Neman, and the Chacham are the ones who say though they are believed to invalidate it, which is the concept of Maid B'Shtar Shik Savoy, Tzarech Lekaimai. Because the ones who were mekayimit could invalidate it. So, and we see that it's the chachamim who say that tzarech lekaimai, not the way we're switching it around. So the Gemara, no, epoch, they also have to switch it around. But the Gemara continues asking, but Rabbi Yechanan, Rai be'edim kama, Rabbi Yechanan himself, we had, and that's why the Tashma makes sense now. The original machlokes, Rabbi Yechanan Shlokish, was Rabbi Yechanan had said, like Rav Huna, that the Raya is Be'edim, and Rishlokish is the one who said Bekim Ashtar. So how could we say this whole interpretation of the Mishnah that it's discussing regarding the concept of Moed B'Shtar Shek Savoy Tzarech L'Kaimai, and the Rabbi Yechanan who is saying that Moed B'Shtar Shek Savoy in the Tzarech L'Kaimai, because it's the Chacham who like Rameya, and it's the Rameya who like the Chachamim, and it's discussing the concepts of Kiyum Ashtar, but Rabbi Yechanan was the one who said that our Mishnah is a totally different discussion. It's not a proof with Kiyum Ashtar, it's a proof with witnesses. So the Gemara, Epoch, you gotta switch that too. No, it was Rabbi Yechanan who said Bekim Ashtar, and Rish Lakish was the one who held the Rav Huna that it's Be'edim. So the Gemara says that that's the case. Lema Lepech Nami Tiyufta. So then, should we then flip around the question too? Originally we had said, oh, Eisver Rabbi Yechanan Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yechanan had asked a question to Rish Lakish. Because he said, oh, according to me that I say the Raya is Be'edim, it makes sense. According to you holds his Raya with Kim Ashtar, it's difficult. So, says the Gemara, now that we switched around the opinions, so seemingly then we should switch around and say it wasn't Eisver Rabbi Yechanan Rish Lakish, it was Eisver Rish Lakish to Rabbi Yechanan. Because from that proof that was brought, it was a proof that the halacha of the Mishnah was a Raya Be'edim, and which is not like Rabbi Yechanan. So seemingly it shouldn't be anymore now the gears of Eisver Rabbi Yechanan Rish Lakish, it should be now, as we're switching everything else around too, Eisver Rish Lakish Rabbi Yechanan. So the Gemara says, no, that you don't have to switch around. As a ketin type of kofen and heim and alav, hocha kamal Rabbi Yechanan Mishim Lakish. This is what Rabbi Yechanan said to Rish Lakish. Bishlem lididi, very well, it makes sense according to me. Da'amina raya b'kim ashtar, that I say, and this is going back on that incident of those in Bnei Barak, that I say that the proof is with the verification of the documentation. Moreover, as we explained according to the conclusion of the Gemara, I switch around the opinions of the Mishnah. That is the Rabban who hold that Moed B'Shtar Shek Savoy ain't Tzarech L'Kaimai. You don't have to have it verified through a third party. Because once there's an admission that it was written, so Hein Mishkach Asla, Denachzi L'Kuchas L'Nechasim. So that would make sense, as we had in that incident, that the consumers already had possession of the properties. And as we had explained, which we thought originally that was the answer for Rish Lakish, but now that we switch around the pins of Rish Lakish and Birchin, it's actually what Rabbi Yechanan would be interpreting that price. Meaning, it was the Yerushin who were coming and contesting, and they were saying, as we had explained previously, as we said, the Hachanam Mestab, we said that actually logical to explain that price like that, where Rabbi Kiva said to the Yerushim, no, you guys are not allowed to ruin the body. And that's why they were silent, and they took it sitting down. Which makes sense that the Lekuches had taken possession of it, because either maybe they had already verified the document, or even if you would say that they didn't verify the document, since the family members agreed that their sibling who passed away had written the document, so although they're claiming, yeah, but he was a minor, oh, but you don't have to be mekayimit, because and that's why it makes sense how they originally had taken possession of that what they had bought. And then that's why the story continues, that the family members were trying to contest and take it away. But the question Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish was, but according to you, according to our new revised understanding of the Machlekes, the Amrit Raya Be'edim, that you say that the proof that has to be brought with witnesses, and moreover, according to you, you don't switch around the opinions in the Mishnah. So since it's the Rabbanan who were saying, the one who wants to collect is incumbent upon them to bring raya, a proof. Now who's the one that wants to take away? It's the recipient of the gifts that they want to take it away from the family members to collect it. So then, according to you, how does it even make sense in the first place that the consumers would have taken possession of the properties that they had bought? But the problem is, but they don't have witnesses that the seller or giver was an adult. So how'd they ever take possession in the first place? According to you, it doesn't make sense, the whole story. Said Amalei, and that Rish Lakish responded to Rabbi Yochanan, no. No, in this case, I agree to you that the contesting of the family members is not a valid complaint. And to the contrary, in this case, it was appropriate that the consumers went and took possession of the nechasim. Why? So he explains. Because Mike Comrie, what are the family members complaining about? What are they saying? They're saying, oh, you consumers, how do you have a right to take it? And Rabbi Yochanan is even adding fuel to that fire by asking Rish Lakish, how'd they take it in the first place? They have to have a raya, according to Rabbanan, be'edim. And they don't have a raya be'edim that the seller was an adult. And that says Rish Lakish, no. That's incorrect. You're right. If there was a valid claim of the family members, then the consumers would never have a right and they would never be a muhsig by taking it because they would have to first bring proof with witnesses. But regarding the claim of the family members by saying katnoi that it was a minor, and that says that's not a valid claim, and therefore that's not something that the consumers would have to have bring a proof with edim. Because chazaka ena edim chesim ala shtar, we have a chazaka actually working in the favor of the consumers, and thus that's why they don't have to bring a raya be'edim, that witnesses do not sign on the document, elam kein nasa gadol, unless it's done with adults, which is that we assume, what's called a non-sa'adi, we assume, and this is the chazaka, that the giver, the recipients, and the witnesses were all adults and kosher individuals. And therefore, since there's that chazaka, they're contesting, their ear is nothing, and therefore that's why there's no raya on the aid on the consumers to have brought, and that's why they were able to take possession in the first place. And if it's not difficult on Rish Lakish, who says that generally you need a raya be'edim, in this case they did not need a raya be'edim. And Rashbam concludes this discussion by saying that we see that Maydi b'shtashik savai, the halacha would be that if someone admits that he wrote a document, that in tzarich l'kayim would not need third party verification, which is like Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, and that doesn't make a difference if the guy himself is contesting the document by saying, well, yeah, I know I wrote it and it was with kosher witnesses, but it was a shtar pastam, a shtar mana, and neither does it make a difference if the Eden themselves are contesting it by saying, yeah, this is our signature, it was written, but we're anusim. Because as we see that we switch around even in Masechtik Subis, that inem on lepaislay, that the witnesses are not believed to invalidate by saying anusim ayinu psulim ayinu ketam ayinu, once they verify, it's like a non sahadi, it's like witnesses already verifying, and therefore the second witnesses are not believed to say that's pasul, it was already verified and kosher, and therefore they're not believed to say, and that's the halacha, says Rashbam, from the conclusion of this discussion, they don't have to have it verified, it's already kosher, they're not believed to invalidate it by saying, pesha asa hu pesha hita.